Next Step 257, May 9th, 2013.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Voskan. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Voskan provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Voskan, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a very special, you might even say phenomenal edition of The Next Step. Hey, this is being brought to you by the good folks at epostle.net as part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission. Hey, we want you to kick back right now as we talk about life and love, about spirituality and all good things. So if you're ready, I know I am, let's take The Next Step. Phenomenal is the only way you could describe it. That's what it was. It was a phenomenal evening for a phenomenal church with a lot of phenomenal people. Yes, we celebrated our 10th anniversary. I told you about it last week. Well, we got together this Sunday and we celebrated 10th anniversary of the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center in Glendale. The Archbishop of the Diocese, the Primate, His Eminence Archbishop Hovnan Derderian was presiding. He was there. It was kind of an interesting little switch off, whereas we've created this little church over there on the corner in Glendale, and it has this worldwide mission, worldwide audience. Our good friend Upgar chimed in from down under, from Australia, and wished us the best. And I made a point of saying that during the speeches. I mean, we have our listeners from Canada, we have our listeners from Europe, and every one of you was a participant in that celebration. And I want to thank you for all the well wishes that we got, and also share with you some of the excitement that we had on that day. It was very, very exciting. But it really came down to, okay, we have a phenomenal product over here, and we have an opportunity to really take it in the direction that, well, we see as a vision for that church, because the vision is given to us very plainly by Jesus Christ, right? And so when we started doing this 10 years ago, the Youth Ministry Center in Glendale, we said, okay, what would it take to come down to the very basic about being a church that reaches out, becomes the body of Christ here on earth? And so we started that, and yeah, a lot of opposition, but 10 years later, we're doing it. And it was so neat because, first of all, you had the establishment itself putting its approval on it. And listen to this. Archbishop Hovnan said, you were responsible for creating the virtual church. His words, not mine. The virtual church. Well, guess what? All of you listening in right now to The Next Step are part of that virtual church. And you get a high-ranking official of the Armenian Church saying this, coming up with this. Hey, we've arrived. But we're not going to just applaud that little action right there. We're going to talk about where we're going with all that, because today happens to be Ascension. Today in Armenian, Hamparzum. 40 days. Now listen, I want to share with you. You know how big I am about resurrection. How we've got to talk about victory over being victimized. The resurrection is the symbol of victory, right? Of course. Resurrection is victory over the cross, over the crucifixion. Okay, so what is higher than resurrection? Well, you say nothing. Nothing can be. Yes, there can be. It is today. Ascension. Because Jesus, 40 days after the resurrection, ascended to heaven. Now, think about that in terms of life. Okay, we look at our crucifixions. We know about resurrection being the conquering of our challenges, of our difficulties. Now think about ascending. Okay, I'm going to talk to you about that too today. That's really like a new idea that came out of Armidoxy. So I'm anxious to share that with you. I told you it's a phenomenal day today, okay? Phenomenal people, phenomenal church, all things good. And listen, we're gonna talk about a lot of things. I'm going to talk about the 10th anniversary. I'm going to share with you a few things about what happened last week at the Diocesan Convention. But I want to start off with a piece and share this with you, because I was very touched. As I told you, today I am here at Loyola, and that is a law school in Los Angeles area, right in downtown, and it is run by the Jesuits. And of course, Jesuits, that's like a very special order within Catholicism. Now, the Jesuits, one of the Jesuits became the Pope, Pope Francis. So I walk into the Jesuit school right now, and today this is where we're going to be recording out of. I happen to be in Susie's office, now converted into Apostle East, okay? The farthest east we are, because we're recording out of there. Where the Apostle microphone is, that's where Apostle Studio is. Is it north? Okay. All right, we're southwest. I'm being corrected by the main producer over here. Okay, we are at Loyola, but we are at Apostle Southwest. Okay, so I walk into the new studio today with the whole equipment. Okay, we are recording. This is fantastic. Okay, so what happens is I walk in, and of course, at this Jesuit university, there is a copy of the newspaper, L'Osservatore Romano, a weekly edition in English about what's going on in Rome. There on the cover is a picture of Pope Francis embracing Pope Benedict. Now, this was a few weeks back, but this picture escaped me. So anyway, I was reading it. Now, listen, I'm going to share with you a couple things in this story because it's exciting, okay? It comes back to that whole phenomenal thing. We got a great show today. You could tell by how excited I am right now. It's a lot of great things. Okay, so just let's start off with this one. So it talks about how the Pope greeted the Pope, what should we call him, Pope Emeritus, the former Pope, Benedict. A very unusual circumstance. As you know, it's been 600 or 700 years since a pope has resigned. So you had this opportunity where two popes actually meet here on earth. And as I was reading this was beautiful. On arriving at the papal residence and stepping first in the apartment, the two then went to the chapel for a moment of prayer. Again, the director of the Holy See Press Office said, Benedict the 16th motioned Pope Francis to the place of honor. But the latter said, we are brothers, and knelt beside the Pope Emeritus in the same pew. Wow. I like that. After the prayer, Pope Francis gave Benedict XVI a Marian icon, which had been given to him by Metropolitan Hilarion of the Patriarchate of Moscow. They tell me, he explained, that it is Our Lady of Humility. May I tell you something? When I heard this, I immediately thought of you and the many marvelous examples of humility and tenderness you gave us during your pontificate. Ah, this stuff, I eat it up, you know. Yeah, I'm a sucker for this stuff. What was interesting about the story was they talk about who sits where, what they're wearing and everything. And I thought that was cute, because those are the kind of things that we usually object to, all of the trappings. And it's good to see that it's not only in the East, but it's alive in the West too, all of the trappings. But it's like, if you read between the lines, you find a nice story of humility and humble respect from two pontiffs. So that's all. That was just a small little tidbit that wasn't going to be part of our show today, but it became because we walked into this this new studio. All right, let me begin. I'm going to get to the 10 years in a little bit. I'm going to talk about, we have Anish coming up with her pomegranate seeds, but let me share with you what happened. Yesterday I was driving back from Arizona. you know, one of my favorite hideouts over there. So I was driving back and I was listening to some radio. There's all kinds of talk show. Have you noticed lately that, you know, we are a culture that we're getting our news from different sources, obviously, because of the use of the internet, and because there is so much more access to information, we get to sort, pick and choose the kind of information we want to listen to. And it occurred to me that as I was listening to different talk shows, especially when you're on those long, lonesome highways, you know, people listen to talk shows that are along their same their same persuasion. Okay, if you are left of center, you want to listen to somebody that we'll talk about left of center ideas. If you're right of center, you want to listen to right wing radio, and so on and so on. You know, it's not like we're challenging ourselves to listen to others, listen to the other side of the story. So anyway, in that challenge, I decided to go through the radios, and lo and behold, there was only one station on one stretch of the highway. It happened to belong to famed the famed Rush Limbaugh. So I was listening to Rush Limbaugh, and he had an interesting story that came out of Reader's Digest. Apparently, the Reader's Digest had picked the top 100 trusted people in America. 100 top trusted people in America. That's interesting. So Rush made the point of saying that out of that 100, there was only one Republican that was trusted. And of course, you know where my mind went. It went to, well, I wonder how many of them are clergymen. How many of these trusted people are people that we usually consider to be trusted? I want to first and foremost start off by telling you who the Reader's Digest, now that in America is a pretty, pretty big publication, as it is throughout the world. I know they publish in many, many different languages, and I'm sure you're familiar with the publication. The 100, top 100 trusted people behind the scenes. Who are they? Listen to this, okay? Are you ready? Who's the number one? Who's the number one, you would think, okay? Trusted person. Somebody you trust. Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks, an actor. Somebody who reads lines. Number two, Sandra Bullock. Actor. Denzel Washington, number three. Most trusted. Actor. Meryl Streep, number four. Actor. Maya Angelou. American Studies professor. Number six, Steven Spielberg. Number seven, Bill Gates. Microsoft. Okay, are you ready for number eight? Big one. Alex Trebek, the host of Jeopardy. Number nine, Melinda Gates, Bill Gates' wife. Number 10, Julia Roberts. Okay, now think about this for a moment, okay? I was really contemplating this because I wondered how many of these are priests and or clergymen, let's say, people of the gospel. And I thought back a couple weeks ago, I had that discussion with Stepan out at Glendale, and I shared that with a lot of our listeners, and I got a lot of feedback on that one, too. And the idea that he came up with a list of people that were so important to the Armenian nation, that we as the Armenian people can look at ourselves and say, wow, we are something incredible because of all of these achievements. And I made the point that, you know, it's interesting that there's not one clergyman in that group. I mean, are the clergy that bad? Are they so despised that there isn't one clergyman who has done significant work for the Armenian people? I mean, considering also you talk about nationalism, you talk about a church that has created an alphabet, and you can't think of one clergyman that has done something of significance here in America that has brought brought a little bit of pride to the people here in America. And I thought it's the same thing with the Reader's Digest. They came up with 100 people. What does that tell you? Does that tell you that out of the 100, or the list that I read you, what was it? 8 out of the top 10 are actors? What is an actor? With all due respect, And I have some favorites, you know. I go back to Bogey. I love some of Julia Roberts. Don't talk about her. I like her. I love these actors. They really do the job. They make you believe in something. And with all due respect for that, what is it really? It's really getting a script, reading those lines, and pretending. Now, is this the top 10 trusted people? Do I trust these people? What is trust? Well, let me share with you what this means. And this is very important, because when you also do biblical studies, you realize, you know, many times when I talk about the Gospels and how the Gospels touch us, you've got to realize that they all come in from a different angle. So when you listen to the top 10, the top 100 trusted people, you say, where is the source? Well, the source is Reader's Digest. Well, who's that source of people? Well, first of all, if they tell you that the top 10 are actors, telling you that there's really not that broad range of different people. In the same way, if somebody who is already fired up against the church, he's not going to identify any church people as being responsible for any progress. And when you think about it, when you think about such leaders as Archbishop Diran Nersoyan, who here on American soil had the vision to make a St. Nerses Seminary where the Armenian church can really be on par with some of the best. When you look out and you see some of the heavyweights like Archbishop Shinork Kalustian, who in the middle of the Cold War was able to preserve that sense of the church as a real viable institution and keep the people going. When you think about early that first generation that came to America. Of course, many people don't know this. They think that most Armenians became Armenian after the Beirut war or after the fall of the Shah in Iran. But there were Armenians in America before that. And it took a lot of vision. It took a lot of vision for them to make the monument in Montebello. It took a lot of courage to stand up against the McCarthy era and to be able to be counted as people who came from communist Armenia and yet realized that they were American. The American-Armenian experience during those first 50 years from 1915 to 1965 was incredible and unfortunately is not documented. A few of us that were fortunate enough to be there or our parents were there can vouch for what a turbulent time that was. And to say that, you know, we are here thanks to all these people, with the exclusion of clergy, there are no clergy, it means that we are predispositioned. We have a prejudice. In other words, we are judging not based on facts, but based on our own biases. And that's all this is. When you look at the Reader's Digest 100, you've got to realize there's a bias being played out. So it was kind of interesting to me as I was driving through the desert and listening to this. It got my head to thinking, you know, we are all made up of our biases. We all have prejudices against this or that idea. And when it comes down to it, you know, we're free to believe whatever we want. But let's not give it more credibility than it's due. When you start looking at a Reader's Digest forum, when you start looking at pictures of this or that, and you got to put it all into perspective. And once you can do that, I think then you start seeing very clearly that really it's not about what people think of you, but it's who you really are. And that's the bottom line, isn't it? It's not a question of who do they think that I am, it's who do I know that I am. And if you feel comfortable in that skin, then you've won the battle, haven't you? Are you with me right now? Okay, I hope you are. We're going to take a break right now, and we're going to listen to the song of the day. We'll be back in a couple minutes to share with you some more stuff coming up.
Vijak, vijak, odunu, chijak, ushare, shabi, kuvoske, kojak. Vijak, vijak, odunu, chijak, ushare, shabi, kuvoske, kojak. Vijak, yaga, bajan, talan. Vijak, yaga, abiyapa. Vijak, yaga, tamjatio. Vijak, vijak, odunu, chijak, ushare, shabi, kuvoske, kojak. Vijak, vijak, odunu, chijak, ushare, shabi, kuvoske, kojak. Vichaga yega medonani, marana yega mezernani, kochara yega meashkani, Vichaga vijago dunu, jijago share, shabigo vaske gojak, Vichaga vijago dunu, jijago share, shabigo vaske gojak. Mere bichaga inch kuzi gulmajan, boske madani kuzi gulmajan. Mere bichaga inch kuzi gulmajan, khatay mita khok kuzi gulmajan. Vijak vijak durnu vijak gulmajan, share shabik boske gojak gulmajan. Vijak vijak durnu vijak gulmajan, share shabik boske gojak gulmajan. Gula 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 ham palzuma yezandaran khani dura jaktin davin garmir nura bostan lera buta buta asfad pandin rasven gada vijaga vijaga durnu jijak share shabi boske gojak vijaga vijaga durnu jijak share shabi boske Mere bichaga inch kuzi gulmajan, boske madani kuzi gulmajan. Mere bichaga inch kuzi gulmajan, khatay mita khok kuzi gulmajan.
That is Vijag by Zulal. Clear, clear Zulal music. And we will put a link on our show notes. A song, Vijag means, well, it actually means your status, what your position is. But in this case, Vijag is also the name of what they played. They played Vijag. It's almost like the fate. And this comes to us from a poem, an epic poem by Hovhannes Tumanyan called Anush. And in it is the girl named Anush. She is caught because of old superstitions based on these pulling of vijags, of pulling out their fortune. And it took place on the feast of Hamparzum, or Ascension, which is today. So, vijag is somehow ipso facto connected to the feast of Ascension, although it has very little to do with it. But I wanted to play it because traditionally it is known on that, but I also wanted to make a connection to something else that you may or may not have heard of this week. Of course, we've all heard of this incredible tragedy that took place in Cleveland, Ohio. 10 years ago, three girls were abducted, and they have been kept in an apartment as slaves. They've been abused sexually, physically, in all kinds of manner. They've been kept in dungeon-like, in prison cells by this one man. And then just last Sunday, I think it was, one of the girls was able to escape and went and got some help from one of the neighbors. And the police came in and found the other two girls. So three of these women were now held inside, against their will, inside of this little house. And the connection with Vijag is this, that as the investigation is unfolding and they're finding out what happened, it turns out that one of the girls was pronounced dead some 9 or 10 years ago by a psychic. Yes, a psychic, I'll find the name and I'll put it on our show notes today for sure. Do check it out. But a very well-known psychic had pronounced her dead, had told her mother that stop looking for her because your daughter is dead. Well, 1 year later, the mother dies of heart condition. You can't speculate. You can't say that it's because of this. But I guarantee you, it was a broken heart. It was somebody. Imagine being told your daughter is dead. Stop looking for her. That's what the psychic did. Now, you know, as a priest, a lot of times people come up to me, and they come up and they ask me, "Do you believe in psychic phenomena? Do you believe in ESP as a priest?" And you know what? I think all things are possible. Yes, I do believe that there are things that are paranormal, okay? But what you do with that information is really the question. Not a question, is it possible, but what do you care? And as Christians, we have this commandment. It's very basic. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be anxious about tomorrow. And for us to appeal to psychics, to paranormal experiences, to tell our future, well, you saw what happened in this case. Tragedy. You believed that somebody was able to see beyond the natural, and she came out and she said, your daughter's dead. 10 years later, the daughter's found alive. And yet you took away the hope from that mother. You took away hope from that family. And that mother died. The mother died thinking that her child was dead. I mean, how cruel can this get? And yet you have nobody to blame but the people who give themselves to these kind of, well, this kind of nonsense. And I say nonsense because, well, it is. I mean, it's just like astrology, right? I mean, to think that these planets way out there in space somehow determine who you are. Maybe. Maybe. Okay, let's not discount anything. Anything is possible. But when you come to it from a Christian standpoint, what is Christ saying? It's talking about self-determination. Seek first God's kingdom and all else will fall into place. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Seek first God's kingdom. Well, what is God's kingdom? Hey, are you able to get along with one another? Are you able to love? Are you able to have compassion in your heart? Are you able to reach out to people? That's what it's all about. It's about a collective experience, a community experience. Not, hey, what's going on in life? Let's take a look. Who am I going to marry? That would be really cool. Let me find out who I'm going to marry. Let me find out if I'm going to ever make it big. Because if I'm not, then I might as well just kick back and just figure out, okay, I'm always going to be in this situation. Hey, if I knew that I'm going to die in 5 days, hey, I could max out my credit cards. I mean, there's all kinds of things, right? And certainly in this case, for a woman who is looking for hope, looking for her daughter, imagine that. You've taken away hope. You've said, stop looking. Your daughter is dead. Quite different from what Jesus said to the people who had lost a daughter. He says, your daughter is not dead, but is sleeping. And that's why during the Holy Divine Liturgy, what does the priest say? The priest turns the Holy Communion, the Holy Eucharist, to the people and says, Sayagyang huis arutyun. This is life and this is hope. And this is resurrection. Well, what is that hope? It keeps you going. It keeps you believing. It keeps you believing that things will get better. And let me tell you, that is what is so necessary in a world where it seems like, well, as life's going on, it seems less and less opportunities to hope. And we have all kinds and manners of, well, I talked about astrology. Sure, yeah, that's the most obvious one. In fact, we had a president several years ago whose wife was into astrology, and she would advise the president. Imagine the superpower. At that point there was two superpowers in the world. The wife of the president of one of the superpowers is getting advice through astrology and passing it along to her husband. And this was documented during the Reagan administration. You know, we in Armenian circles, as well as the entire Middle East, we have coffee. Then we read the coffee grinds. It's called reading coffee grinds. It's called reading the coffee cups. Anyway, I know the whole Middle East. We call it Armenian coffee. I know it's called Turkish coffee. It's called Greek coffee. Whatever the case may be, we know what it is. It's this really potent, potent coffee. It's like inhaling caffeine, you know. It's like, oh, wow, I'm awake right now. And actually, I got used to its taste when I was living in Armenia, because when I was a seminarian, a student, we'd study late at night and we'd drink the coffee and it would keep us awake. But, you know, you get to a point in life where you say, okay, enough's enough. I kind of like treasure not being knotted up in the stomach and I want to get some sleep. I want to put my head on the pillow and not just have it buzzed, you know. So you kind of give up on the Armenian coffee. But here's one of the traditions. With the Armenian coffee comes this tradition of reading coffee cups. And here's how it goes, okay? You make your coffee. And the way the coffee is made, this is like a secret, okay? You boil water, you add a little bit of sugar, depending on your taste, and then you take the the coffee, which is ground very, very, very fine, and you put it right into the boiling water. No. I'm not talking about draining it. I'm not talking about percolating. I'm talking coffee right into the water. Okay? And then you drink this stuff down. That's the inhaling of the caffeine. Okay, so now, obviously, at the end of this, you have some of the grounds which remain in your cup. So now you turn over the cup, and it dries. And then a good coffee cup reader will be able to look at the cup and tell you what your life is about. Tell you what's in store for you. Good things, bad things. Are you going to find money? Are you going to get a letter? Are you going to have a love of your life? Will you ever reach the dreams that you have? All there in the coffee cup. Okay, now, like I said, astrology is up there. The stars, do they control your life? Think about the coffee. Well, let's think about it, okay? So you've got some farmer in Colombia planting a seed. And here comes the coffee plant. They collect the coffee beans and ship it out to America. From America, you have Sarkis Market down the street who takes this coffee and grinds it into small little bags. Now that bag gets sent home to your house. And grandma has a Jezva and she makes this coffee for you. And then she pours it and gives it to you. You drink it and then turn it over. And then that powder residue tells you what your life is all about. Think about it. I know. If you've never thought about it, if you've never heard of this, you'd say this is absurd. But do you realize people pay money, that hard-earned money, to have their coffee cups read? To find out what's in store for them? Hey, you've gone to a Chinese restaurant and you've opened up the fortune cookie. How credible is it? Do you pay for that fortune cookie? No, they give it to you. Who takes that seriously? People take this seriously. Just like astrology. Just like reading tea leaves, reading cards, tarot cards. And it's all about people. You know what? I don't blame them. They're trying to make a buck. They're going to fool. They're going to steal. They're going to lie. They're going to cheat. I blame people who believe this stuff. That from Sarkis Market, who got it from the Colombian farmer, comes to your grandma. It's put in with water and sugar. And then it comes to you and you drink it. And then this residue tells you about your life. So if you know that you're not going to make it this week, hey, why even get out of bed? If you know that tragedy's coming, why even fool around trying to divert it? Just, yeah, go ahead. Why not just go lie down in the street? Just get it over with. How about a good thing? If you know something good is coming, okay, get washed up. His mom said, wear some clean underwear that day. Things are going to be good. Well, you should wear clean anytime, right? But you get the point. It's like, it's not about people telling fortune. It's not about paranormal experience. It's about how you perceive it. It's the same way as the top 100. It's who's the audience there? Who's the audience that's looking at that list, that is making up that list? And it's the same way. Who's the audience that cares about these paranormal experiences? Certainly anything that takes away that beauty of life is not worth your indulging in it. Hamparzum. This week is Hamparzum. Today is Hamparzum, actually. 40 days after Jesus. Think about that. After Jesus rose from the dead. You know, we always talk about resurrection as being this ultimate sign of Christianity. That everybody came into this world, but only Jesus was able to conquer the cross, conquer crucifixion. So we have the resurrection. Resurrection is the day that the victim becomes a victor. And it's the ultimate. And we think that that's it. But ascension is really the next step. And that's what happens today. Jesus goes from resurrection to ascending into heaven. And think about our own experiences. We resurrect, we become victorious when we overcome our challenges. But how we have to push ourselves to really ascend, to rise from our condition. And we can do this. This is the message that we get today. Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me, heaven and on earth. And just as the Father sent me, I send you. Go out into the world and tell people what I have taught you." What has he taught us? What has Jesus taught us? To love. "By this they will know that you are my children, by the way you love." The one commandment that he gave: love your Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love. And so this commandment to love raises us. Acting on that commandment is our opportunity to rise ourselves from resurrection to ascension. And so when we go with these psychic phenomena and everything, are they raising us or are they pulling us down? Are they giving us no hope? Well, certainly in the case of these three abducted and kidnapped young girls, at least in the case of that one girl, it gave them absolutely no hope. It took away what hope that they did have, believing in a psychic phenomena. Again, anybody could claim that they're psychic. Anybody, and I don't want to talk about those things because I do believe that all things are possible. Maybe some people do have paranormal gifts. Maybe some people do have. But the minute that it takes away your right to determine your life, you've got to realize that it is far from what Christ taught us. You are in control of your life. Seek first God's kingdom and all else will follow. Well, what's the first sentence? What is the first word of that? Seek. It's an action on you. You need to rise to the occasion and say, "Yes, I want to seek God's kingdom. I want to seek that kingdom where we can live in harmony, in love, and in peace." And this may be difficult to do. It may be pie in the sky, maybe a dreamer, but I dream the big dreams. And that dream can come true because I know that God has equipped me with the most precious gifts that he can give me. He's given me life. He's given me an opportunity to rise to the occasion. And I can go from resurrection to ascension. I took that first step. I left the crucifixion behind. I have resurrected. I am a victor, not a victim. And now I need to walk further and ascend. You think about what Christ's words were last week, and it was the lectionary reading. John chapter 10, verse 10. "I came so that you might have life and have life abundantly." Okay, so the resurrection is life. Having it abundantly is the ascension. It's the next step. It's walking beyond the victories and finding an opportunity for yourself to be all that you can be. Psychic phenomena, paranormal experiences, whatever you want to be, if it doesn't give you that opportunity to rise to the occasion, if it doesn't give you the opportunity to move from resurrection to ascension, then it's really not good. It's really something that is hindering you, keeping you back. Christ's words, Matthew chapter 6, Sermon on the Mount: "Seek first the kingdom and all else will follow. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough problems of its own. Seek first the kingdom. All else will follow." It's words that cannot lie. And it's words that we take to heart on this Ascension Day and every day. Let's take a little break, a little change in pace. We're going to hear from Anna. She's going to be telling you about, a very important walk that she's going to be doing. I'll tell you about that, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Why I Walk. This year marks my 10th year participating in the Avon Walk for Breast Cancer, a challenging 39-mile, two-day walk that raises hope, awareness, and funding for breast cancer. It seems that every year I say, I'm taking a break from the fundraising this year, and then somehow I find myself signed up and training to walk. This Saturday, May 11, is this year's kickoff event for the Avon Walk, and I have been asked to speak with the group and share my story and why I walk. I thought I would share it with you, and so here goes. Would it make sense to you if you heard me say that my cancer diagnosis was a positive event in my life? How can something so devastatingly scary be positive? I think of it as positive because no other event other than being a mom has made me understand who I am, what I believe, and what cancer is. When I was diagnosed at age 34, cancer meant fear. Fear of the future, fear of the unknown, fear for my children. Growing up in the 70s, you didn't hear of too many people who survived cancer. So when I was diagnosed, naturally, I thought of the worst, and thankfully, we caught it early. I underwent surgery and daily radiation, and I made it. I celebrated life and every year that went by. They told me that if I made it to my fifth year without recurrence, then I could consider myself cured, and that fifth year was my goal. That was back in 1998. I heard about the first Avon Walk. It was a three-day back then, 60 miles from Santa Barbara to Malibu, and it coincided with my five-year anniversary. And so, I had to do it. I remember that first walk. Everything seemed so special and new. I walked on my own, but along the way, I met so many amazing people. Some were survivors just like me. We were all walking together, all of us, with different stories, yet all of us touched by cancer. I remember that last day walking single file along the Pacific Coast Highway into Malibu, one foot in front of the other, calling up every last bit of strength from inside me, thinking about my grandmothers who were both genocide survivors and powerful women of faith, and thinking, I am their granddaughter. I can do this. I am a survivor. Just believe. And when I saw my children at the finish line cheering me on with smiles and flowers, something inside me changed. I felt powerful. Life went on and the years went by. I kept up with my checkups and my mammograms. My children grew up and I kept walking. When my daughter got old enough, she signed up to walk with me. And then 2011 came and hit me with a double whammy. You know that colonoscopy you keep putting off? Well, don't do that. In February of 2011, I went for my first ever colonoscopy. It was routine, no symptoms, nothing. And then wham, I was diagnosed with colon cancer after the mass they found tested positive. And thankfully, again, it was early on. I underwent surgery, and during my 6-week recovery, I went for my annual mammogram. I remember the day after I returned to work, I got the call. They saw something in my mammogram and they wanted me to come in for a biopsy. I went in the very next day and by the following afternoon, I received the call. I had breast cancer again. 18 years later, because I had radiation the first time around, that was no longer an option. I had to undergo a mastectomy and opted for reconstructive surgery at the same time. So there was a lot of coordinating and scheduling going on, and at the same time, my daughter was getting ready to graduate nursing school. I think each and every one of my medical team and hospital staff knew about my daughter's graduation. This mama's got to make it to her baby's graduation, so we need to get her there. That became my goal, to make it to her graduation, and it happened. I had my surgery and was well enough to hear her commencement address that day. That September, just 3 months after my surgery, my daughter and I walked in the Avon Walk Santa Barbara. We held hands as we approached the finish line. Our family was there as they always have been, and then looking beyond, I saw so many of my friends. 15 of my friends had rented a van and surprised us. They had come all the way from Glendale to Santa Barbara to support us as we crossed the finish line. It was amazing. Not only that, but they had coordinated this huge potluck setup, and they all stayed for the closing ceremony. By the end of the closing, my brother, sisters, and 7 of my friends had signed up to walk in 2012 as Team In Her Shoes, so inspired by the amazing stories they heard. Our team grew to 18 walkers last year, and between the 18 of us, we raised $35,000. When I think about why I walk, the reason is because I can't not walk. I walk to thank those who walked before me. I am alive because of breast cancer research. I walk to raise funds so the research can continue, so that someday we won't have to have cancer. And I also walk to offer hope and support to others, just like those that walked with me those first years of my Avon Walk experience. Finally, I know I've changed a lot from 20 years ago and my first diagnosis. Cancer doesn't mean fear to me anymore. Cancer has become so much more. But in a good way, cancer means hope for recovery. Cancer means love and support from friends and family. Cancer means beauty in seeing the most ordinary of life happening around you and appreciating it for what it is, beautiful and miraculous. Cancer means faith, prayer, and believing in your wellness and knowing that those prayers are being answered. And cancer means action, being proactive and aggressive when it comes to our wellness. We have the power to make amazing changes that are happening in our lifetime. It all starts with the first step, and I am so looking forward to taking the next step with all of you. This is Anush wishing you a pomegranate day, filled with hope and pink ribbons and ripe with possibilities.
Thank you, Anush, for that story, and I know many of you will be joining Anush on this walk with your thoughts, with your prayers. I, for one, am going to be walking with her. I'll be with her physically, walking with her step by step on that 39.1 mile. We have a smaller group this year. What was our last year we had? We had 18. We had 18 people last year. It's a smaller group. We're going to be going out there and walking in the Santa Barbara area, and I'm looking forward to doing that. And, you know, if you want to be part of that, you can contribute to my walk, and I'll take this opportunity to do a small little plug. You know, visit my site and donate. You can donate to my walk and say, hey, I want to walk with Father Voskin, and I'll take any amount that you'd like to, and be assured that I will carry your name with me, as we did last year, as everyone who walked carried the name of their people, of their sponsors, of loved ones who had cancer and had been victorious after cancer. So this, in a sense, is victory over cancer and now the ascension, right? Yeah, you got it. It all comes together here at Epostle. So here's Susie to tell you how you can get involved in the Apostle experience.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the 5th year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgin calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgin.
Thank you, Susie, for that important announcement. Many ways to get involved. You know, it's not always about writing a check. Of course, we'll take it. It's important. But it's also about telling friends about it, telling your loved ones about it, that, hey, something new is happening. You know, even the archbishop came and said, this is the virtual church. And when you get the support of an archbishop, you're talking about, well, about moving this church in a direction that, well, it, that moves us from resurrection to ascension. That's what it's all about. And I had so much that I was going to share with you, you know, because last week we had the Diocesan Convention. I was going to share with you what's coming up for the 100th anniversary of commemoration of the Armenian Genocide, because I'm in charge of that here in the Western Diocese. And I have some incredible ideas that I want to share with you, especially about the 100-year journey. And that's all I'm going to tell you right now, the 100-year journey that's coming up. I'm going to share that with you next week, I promise. And considering that we have 2 years before the 100th anniversary, I think we could put it off till next week. But let me just share with you right now that, you know, there's so many ways to get involved. This last week has been phenomenal. And I use that word intentionally, because when I talked about what the 10 years at the youth ministry were about, it occurred to me that we really have a phenomena in this church. A phenomena means there's something extraordinary. It is paranormal. It goes beyond your senses. When you have a community that is made up of so many different people coming together around the centrality of Christ and doing the work, doing the mission by helping people, by feeding the hungry, by visiting the inmates, by clothing the naked, you realize that you're answering Christ's call. And what's unique about our church is not that we're just doing these things, but it all centers around the Holy Eucharist, the Holy Divine Liturgy. And so I tell you, it's phenomena. It's a phenomena that's happening, and you can be part of it. Actually, there are so many people that phenomenally are part of this. I'm going to be writing about my speech, and I invite you to read it. Once it gets up, it'll probably be on my blog. I want you to hear the things that happened last Sunday. But let me just tell you, some of the phenomenal people. Well, you know Susie. I always talk about her. She puts together these things. And these are people that are doing it not as their job, but as their responsibility. We honored last week Professor Dekmejan. Now, he comes from Aleppo, Halib. He's been with us for 10 years at the Youth Ministry Center. He's my choir leader. He's a professor of political science. You know the Middle Eastern mentality. If you don't, let me tell you about it. Men in the Middle East, once they rise to a certain position, Armenian men, once they are especially like a professor in a university, after that point, it's not about going and volunteering and being in the church. In fact, you don't do that. It's beneath them. Here is a man who is a professor at the university here in Southern California. He is not only internationally known, he is an analyst for CNN. For the evening news. And yet, the priority for him has always been church. In the last 10 years, he's missed one Sunday morning. And the reason for that? He was having breakfast with the King of Bahrain. I know, big deal, huh? Yeah. And he's been there. Now, we didn't give out, we didn't honor him because of an attendance award, but because he had made the church a priority in his life. I remember one evening, we had an evening service, and he directs our choir. And it was during the beginning of the Iraqi war. And after the services were over, it was like 8 o'clock or something, I went outside in Glendale, and there is a mobile unit from one of the local TV stations, along with the anchor people and the cameras. And I'm going, what's going on over here? And lo and behold, they had come because Professor Dekmejan had told them that if you want an interview with me, there is a priority in my life. That priority is my church. You can interview me, but it'll have to wait till after the service. So he actually dragged over the entire crew of a Los Angeles TV station to come and record him because, hey, if you want me, there's a cost. And it means realizing that this is a priority in my life. And the same goes for all of us. We prioritize, we make what is priority in our life. So I invite you, get involved. Like Susie said, get involved in the Apostle Experience, apostle.net. Many ways to get involved and make it a priority in your life. Because something good is happening here. Something is changing. And the only way to continue that is for us to be united in prayer and thought with our resources, helping out to make sure that this ministry is a viable ministry. We are at the end of today's show. I want to thank you for joining us. There was a few other things I wanted to talk about. We will get to them next week, I promise. But for right now, I want to invite you during the week, get involved with us at our website, epostle.net. That's very easy to remember. It's apostle with an E. Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. Also, download our Sun Sash. Go to the mothership, inissues.org. Get involved with us on Facebook, as well as follow us on Twitter. We're all the local hangouts, including the streets of Glendale. And listen, for the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, for Vahe, our webman, for Anish, for their pomegranate seeds, this is Father Boskin inviting you to join us again next week, where we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.